Almighty God, hide me behind the pulpit of your word, that in this moment I may decrease, you may increase, so that we, your sheep, may feed on the green pastures of your holy word. This for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The 23rd Psalm is the most recognizable psalm, perhaps the most recognizable passage of Holy Scripture. As a matter of fact, Psalm 23 is such a dominant part of our cultural imagination that one biblical scholar has called it an American secular icon. Just a few days ago, I was watching a television program, and there was a funeral scene, and the scene was like you typically see in the movies or on TV. People gathered in a cemetery at graveside with a priest who's really nothing more than window dressing, saying those familiar words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Indeed, it is verse 4 of this psalm in which we hear God's promise to walk with us through the darkest valley, or in traditional translations, the valley of the shadow of death. It is this promise that makes Psalm 23 a mainstay in the funeral liturgy. There is rarely a funeral that you will attend where Psalm 23 is not a part of the service. And so when we hear Psalm 23, we tend to think of it as a prayer for the end of life, a word of comfort on the occasion of death. This morning, I want to invite you to see something different in this prayer. I'm not suggesting that it's a bad prayer for the end of life, but it's so much more than that. This morning, my hope is to help you hear Psalm 23 with fresh ears, and to see in this psalm a word for daily living. A word not for our final days, but a word for every day. A prayer that you could say every morning, and that would impact the way that you live your life. The psalmist begins with a bold proclamation. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, on the surface, that seems like a rather simple statement. Just as a shepherd cares for sheep, so God cares for us. But the statement runs so much deeper than that. Particularly when we remember that throughout the Old Testament, the role of the shepherd serves as a metaphor for the role of the king of Israel. The king of Israel is often referred to as the shepherd of God's flock. And the role of the king was to lead the people to the green pastures of God's word, beside the still waters of holy worship, and along the right pathway of obedience to God's commandments. And if you read the Old Testament, what you find is time and time again, the shepherds of Israel fail in their mission. The kings are a total disaster. And we find among the Israelites idolatry, gross injustice, and disobedience of the very basic commands of God's law. Such that if you read the prophets, particularly Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, you will hear a constant theme of rebuke against the shepherds of Israel. God holds Israel's kings, Israel's shepherds, in judgment for failing to properly care for God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. And so when we view Psalm 23 through that lens, suddenly this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," is a bold statement. Because it is to reject the kingship of earthly powers. It is to say that my primary allegiance is no longer to some king named Ahab or Jezekiah, but my primary allegiance is to the Lord God alone. It is to allow the sovereignty of God to trump the sovereignty of human leadership. This is what we say when we pray, "The Lord is my shepherd." We make ourselves subject to the teachings of the Lord. When I think of what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd, it reminds me of the first chapter of Corinthians, in which Paul is addressing a particular conflict that has arisen amongst the Corinthian church. And that conflict is that there were some who claimed that their faith was built on the teachings of Paul, and there were others that felt that their faith was built on the teachings of another minister named Apollos. And so some would say, "I am a follower of Paul," and others would say, "I am a follower of Apollos." And in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul responds to this by saying to the Corinthian church, "Do not boast about human leaders, for you belong to Christ." Don't boast about human leaders, for you belong to Christ. It's Paul's way of saying, the Lord is our shepherd. God is our king. We do not put our faith, our trust, our hope in any human leader, but in Christ and Christ alone. When we pray Psalm 23, it is an invitation each and every day for us to cling to Christ, to make the Lord the shepherd of our life, and not some human leader. I think that's a particularly powerful message for us to hear, particularly in the 21st century church. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have noticed that we tend to put human leaders on pedestals in the church, don't we? Have you noticed the rise of the celebrity pastor in our culture? Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Lyle Schuller, Pope Francis, the list could go on of these mega preachers that we hold up and their books become number one bestsellers. And we lift them up as if they are our shepherds. And then what we find is time and time again, they turn out to be human, frail, broken, imperfect. And in moments of their failure, people's faith gets shaken to the core. Psalm 23 invites us to remember that our faith is not founded on just any human being, but it is founded on Christ and Christ alone, the one who was without sin, the pure and spotless Lamb of God. And if our faith is guided by anyone other than Christ, then as Jesus would say, it is built on the sand and can quickly wash away. Psalm 23 is a bold statement. The Lord is our shepherd. Now, as a congregation, that message matters deeply in just a moment as this, doesn't it? For in a few months, I'll be leaving you. The good news is, I'm not your shepherd. You don't need me to have a strong and abiding faith in Jesus Christ. All we need to declare that the Lord is our shepherd is the presence and power of Christ among us. And Psalm 23 declares that there is nowhere we can go, even if we enter the darkest valley, the Lord is there. And so our faith is founded upon Christ and Christ alone, not on a human personality, not on a pastor, not on a preacher, not on a king, but on Christ alone. It's amazing as you read the psalm how when the psalmist declares that the Lord is his shepherd, it results in a transformed perspective upon his life. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. I shall lack for nothing," he says. When he realizes that his life is guided by the Lord alone, he also realizes that that means he needs nothing else. For in the Lord he finds the basic necessities of life. Green pastures, food to eat. Still waters, water to drink. Right paths, a direction and purpose, a place to go in life. The psalmist discovers that when we allow the Lord to be the guide of our lives, that there's nothing else that we need, no matter our circumstance. Psalm 23 does not say that when the Lord is our shepherd, we shall always get what we want. Nor does it say that life shall always be easy. But what it does say is that even if we enter the darkest valley, or as the traditional translation would have it, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's presence is there. And that's all we really need. So what would it look like in our lives to pray this prayer? The Lord is my shepherd, the guide of my life. And because the Lord is the guide of my life, I want for nothing. What would it look like for us to no longer want anything more than what God has already given us? That's a radically challenging thing. Because we live in a consumerist culture. And from the time we were born, we've been taught that you should always want something else. You should want the latest iPhone. You should want an upgraded car. You should want a better job and a bigger house. You should want things. It's kind of how our culture is built. What would it look like to no longer want anything else, but to be content in the Lordship of Jesus Christ as the guide of your life? What would it look like if suddenly you realized that because God is present in your life, you have all that you need? It would bring about contentment. I turn again in this moment to the example of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, he's talking to the church about his own experience of the ups and downs of life. And he says to the Philippians, he says, I have learned to be content in all things. Whether I have food to eat or whether I am hungry, whether I have clothing to wear or I don't have two nickels to rub together, I've learned the secret of contentment. Indeed, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's Paul's way of saying that because the Lord is my shepherd, because Jesus is the guide of my life, I don't need anything else. And I can be content in any circumstance, for the Lord is with me. His rod and staff comfort me. He keeps me on the right path that I may dwell in His house forever. What would it look like in your life to declare sole allegiance to the Lord such that you want for nothing? In the closing verses of the psalm, we get a vision of what life under the guidance of the Lord our shepherd looks like. And the psalmist imagines a great banquet, a table that the Lord has prepared for us. And our cups at that table are overflowing. There is an abundance of goodness at this table. And what's amazing at this table is who's with us at the table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, the text says. That somehow, when the Lord is our shepherd, we're able to sit down and eat, even with our enemies. Even if with those who have hurt us. Because when the Lord is our shepherd, we want for nothing else. We no longer need revenge. We don't need to be right. We don't need to condemn sinners. We don't need to exact justice. We have all we need in Christ, and so we can feast with our enemies. Imagine what would happen if the world came to a place where all of us collectively said, the Lord is my shepherd, and so I have no more wants, and so all the world gathers around the table and feast at the banquet of the Lord. You know what that's called? Heaven. Heaven is that time and place when the Lord is shepherd of all. When all of us find green pasture, all have food to eat. When all find the still waters, all have clean water to drink. When all have cups that overflow. You see, the only reason there are enemies and division and hatred in our world is because we've allowed human beings to be our shepherds rather than Christ alone. And Christ is our shepherd. In those moments, we can feast even with our enemies. And finally, in verse 6, the text says that God's chief characteristics, God's mercy and God's goodness, shall follow me all the days of my life. The verb follow there would be better translated pursue. God's goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of our lives. When the Lord is our shepherd, even if we run away from God, God's mercy and goodness chase after us. When the Lord is the shepherd of our life, even if we are the one sheep that has gone astray, the good shepherd seeks out the lost sheep, pursues us with his goodness and mercy. The Lord is the shepherd of your life. You can't even get lost for long, or God will chase you down. Because God, as our shepherd, is determined to make a place for us to dwell forever in the house of the Lord. So let's say we read Psalm 23 that way. Not just as a prayer for our deathbed, but as a prayer to say each and every morning when you wake up, God, you're my shepherd. You're the leader of my life. I don't put my trust in any human being, but I put my trust in you. And because I trust in you, I don't need anything else. I know that your grace is sufficient for me. And even if today I walk through the darkest valley, I don't have anything to fear because I know you're with me. And today, oh God, what I want to see is a vision of the kingdom of heaven. I want to see a table prepared for me, oh God. I want to see my enemies around that table. I want to see the world reconciled and redeemed around that table. And I want to find my place in your house today. Psalm 23 is that kind of prayer. Has that kind of power. So memorize it. Say it every day. Say it until you live it. For the Lord is our shepherd. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.